I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
You know, there's been five games that they've played since we've played them. So, yeah, we look at everything. Coach McDaniel does a great job along with his staff of being really creative and putting these guys in positions and making a lot of big plays. And the speed that they have, as I've said before, is unmatched around the league.
Mike Danger.
I have zero faith in Miami making it competitive. I think the Bills are going to just throttle them on Sunday. I don't see the Dolphins as a team playing inspired football. I see them kind of checked out. Maybe we see a game that is so lopsided that it looks like Miami has quit on their coach and they have to start making tough decisions right away.
Gene Battaglia.
Can the Bills move the ball on Miami? Yes! It doesn't have to be complicated here. It really doesn't. It should be just James Cook. And then once you soften it up a little bit, bam. Honestly, like that to me is the beginning and the end of this conversation here of Buffalo-Miami.
Yeah.
95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan. Rochester.
It never fails. Our regulars in the sports bar, they never let us down. I mean, we've got a World Series to talk about. We've got a matchup against a divisional opponent that we're going to talk about throughout the course of the afternoon. But as soon as I bring up Halloween candy and the Halloween candy power rankings, which we'll unveil for 2024 tomorrow afternoon here on The Fan, everybody's got to chime in.
What is it? Because everybody likes candy?
The breaking news.
Ow! Really hit me. I didn't know it was coming back that far.
That my wife invested in full-size candy bars for the first time. Our house is elite for Halloween. Not talking about decorations. I'm talking about you want value. You know what house you need to come to. You're getting a full-size candy bar if you come by Chateau Dangereux for Halloween. I really don't know. I mean, I'm kind of excited about that, but I'm also nervous that we're setting an unrealistic precedent for the rest of the neighborhood and that we might get egged, not by the kids, but by the parents of the kids who see us handing out the full-size candy bars.
Your neighborhood, I swear, has the most children of any honestly.
It's a baby factory.
Yeah.
And here's what's happening now. We've been in our neighborhood now for over 20 years. So a lot of the kids that were babies when we moved into the neighborhood are now all off to college, young adults, starting their adult life. And a lot of the empty nesters are selling and moving out of the neighborhood to downsize. And when they leave, who's moving into their house? Here comes a new generation of little rugrats just running around the neighborhood. So, yeah, it's a constant cycle. And there are a lot of kids in the neighborhood who are going to be very pleasantly surprised when they ring the doorbell at my house and get a full-size treat in return.
I have to commend your wife, because I always thought your wife, what's the word I want to use?
Frugal. She's cheap.
I can't call her cheap. You can call her cheap. I can call her frugal.
She got peer pressured on this one. She's a regular listener to her show and also to the sports bar, who I met at their 25th anniversary party at Three Heads. Full-size candy bar Phil. He pulled me aside and he's like, look, you know, I bust her chops on the air for being cheap. She really needs to step her game up. We're going to get her to go full-size candy bar. I'm like, Phil, if you do that, you're a better man than I. I've been saying it for years. I hate waste. We end up with these extra bags of candy, and I don't want them in the house. I have zero willpower. I don't need that. My BMI does not need to be nougat for the month after Halloween. So let's just get it out of the house. And Phil points out, one of our regulars on X, you end up with a garbage pile of fun-sized Milky Way, Three Musketeers, and other grandma candies. You're right, Phil. I don't need that in the house. So now, less waste, more efficiency.
Okay. See, this is the hot take factory. Who says Three Musketeers is a grandma candy? Call me grandma then. I made the mistake years ago of saying I like butterscotch,
oh, yeah,
not knowing that
Yeah, you like the Werther's Originals.
Werther's Originals.
And come on over, kids. Have a seat on Grandpa Gene's lap, and we'll share stories with a Werther's Original.
Not forgetting totally what that campaign was, and you look back at that on YouTube. Just yeah. Google Werther's, like, wow, this is super creepy.
Not weird at all.
Now I'm the grandpa. I give my grandchildren
come on Werther's. Over. Sit on my lap. Have a Werther's. Happy Halloween. We got a tweet here from screen name Rubber Band Mouth. I'd like to know your real name. Yeah. We get 200 to 300 kids. We give out full-size candy bars with a juice box for each. Whoa. Whoa. In this economy, slow down there, big spender. Nobody likes a one-upper. This from our regular, the gloat, Chris in South Central Kentucky. You know whose house I'd take my kids to for trick-or-treating? Nathan Peterman, because he'll let you pick six. It's not bad. We can update it.
I would say Kyle McCord would be the 2024 version of that.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. What's more surprising to you, Danger? Think back to March, where if you're just going by TV ratings, they tell a story sometimes. And in March, you had the women's final in college basketball beating out the number of the men's final. Like, wow. Okay, what can we learn from this? Is that more surprising to you, or the fact I'm going to present to you now, that this past Monday, baseball beat out the NFL?
Mm-hmm.
What's more surprising?
The women's.
Baseball drew 13.64 million for Game 3 Monday night. That was the highest Game 3 since 2013. That would have been Boston and St. Louis. And Monday Night Football beat it, not by a wide margin, 13.4. That was kind of barely. It was only the fourth time the World Series and Monday Night Football ever went head-to-head on a network, all right, on network TV. That was also on ABC. Last time being last year, and maybe this is the story here, the numbers from last year, the Lions-Raiders, if you remember that game, did a 15.2. Rangers-Diamondbacks did an 8.1.
Yeah.
Look, it's great that we're expanding our sports palette, but let's be honest. The Giants are the story here. They're a bad watch. Same market as the Yankees. It was the Steelers and anybody else. Pick a team with a good offense. The Bills, in a small market, that doesn't matter. Steelers, Bills would have beaten baseball.
I know that ESPN isn't going to go out and brag about their Monday Night Football number because it fell 200,000 viewers short of what Dodgers-Yankees did on Monday night. But the reality is this is still a win for the NFL. I mean, you trotted out a bad matchup against the perfect storm in Major League Baseball. The two largest markets, these two heritage teams that everybody knows with superstars on the biggest stage, in the biggest market, at the most historic stadium, and you only won by 200,000 viewers against the Steelers? And the Giants?
Yeah, and the Yankee viewers probably, you're pulling away from the Giants on that. So what you're saying is, might be the last time something like this happens?
I mean, I think you just need a perfect storm for Major League Baseball to be in this conversation because football will always dominate as far as the attention of the viewer.
Okay, fair enough. So, like, if I bring it back to what happened in March, that felt perfect stormish, right? Here's Caitlin Clark getting to the pinnacle. Actually, no, she doesn't. It's going to be South Carolina. Like, that kind of felt different to me too there.
Yeah.
And like, you're not going to, are we going to be into women's basketball in 2025 the way that we were in 2024?
Well, I'll tell you what, them going on strike isn't going to really help their cause.
Well, college basketball, I don't think we kind of view that, yeah. but the WNBA.
No, college basketball is not going to pull the number that it did with Caitlin Clark. There's no chance. And the WNBA, in a league that's trying to capture that attention that still can't break a profit.
They have some growing pains. Let's just put it that way.
Yes.
Yeah,
you're being polite. Yeah. Yes. I know we haven't really, we talked about it a little bit yesterday, and it's still a story today based on some of the comments made by Shane Steichen. But the reality behind the benching, Geno, of Anthony Richardson, I imagine Steichen, I imagine Ballard, the Colts, they had to know the risk associated with taking someone with limited college experience in the top 4 of the first round of the NFL draft. It's not like a template for this doesn't exist or hasn't happened in the past. Has everyone forgotten how the Niners gambled on Trey Lance? I mean, that's a franchise that makes it to the Super Bowl, not the Colts. They invested heavily on that player. Limited college experience, massive red flag for pro success. And all that said, I right now can't label Richardson, Bryce Young, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Will Levis, hell, Zach Wilson. I can't label any of them busts because I'm watching Sam Darnold. I'm watching Baker Mayfield. Give it time. Check in down the road. Any of these guys can still be Mr. Right for their team. They just can't be Mr. Right now.
Yes, I hear you. Also, the examples of success you're showing with, like, it's only because those teams moved on. You're saying prematurely. In the case of the Browns, that was always weird to me how Baker Mayfield was playing hurt. He led your team to the postseason and then get out of here. So to me, the Cleveland era seemed to end at the wrong time for Baker Mayfield. I thought he was
rise from the ashes. I mean, remember, it was a game where he was playing as a backup with the Rams that led the Buccaneers to say, like, oh, maybe there's something there.
And for Darnold, I want to hit the pause button. Hey, it's been great. It's been a great half of the season. If the Vikings miss the playoffs, we'll forget about this, and they'll turn to the kid next year.
Well, they're going to turn to the kid next year no matter what. That's the future of their franchise. But I think what Darnold has done is shown that if he's got the right support around him, he can still be a good quarterback. And a lot of it is the situation that you're in. I don't think Richardson is necessarily in a bad situation, but I think there is something to be said for him developing while watching a veteran like Joe Flacco win football games
that
with this team.
That is not what the head coach told you today, though.
I know that's
he
not what he
not,
said.
Okay,
he's
so
not
the,
going to say
the
that.
The other reports that have come out of this, okay, Steichen didn't address the locker room about this. Steichen also, according to Richardson, didn't sit him down. So does he have to? No, but that's an investment. Hey, we're going to get – you would have thought you would have told him the decision. So what's really going on here? I see this as just a head coach looking to save his own ass, honestly. That's – hey, we can make the postseason, and that's ultimately – it's hard to let coaches go in the postseason with Joe Flacco, but you're not helping yourself. That's why ultimately when you make a move like this – it should go not the upper management. It's an ownership decision. Hey, this guy that we drafted, I want to make the move. What happened to Jim Irsay? Jim Irsay used to be this outspoken, you can call him lovable, you could hate him, but at least you know where he stood on things, right? From his throne. Remember this guy? And then something happened health-related, and now he's nowhere to be found? That's disappointing. I mean, look, my point is you're wasting time with Anthony Richardson on the bench because I would find this hard to believe that Jim Irsay would be signing off on this.
Yeah, except that nobody can argue Joe Flacco gives them a better chance to win. And you're paying a head coach to win football games.
Joe Flacco gives them a better chance to win in November and December and make the postseason. Ultimately, is that the goal?
Yeah.
Joe Flacco, no, Joe Flacco, he will get waxed in the postseason. Like, did you not see what happened with the Browns last year?
Trying to win games, though, Gino. I mean, I get what you're saying. You want the kid out there to develop him, and he needs the reps, but I think he can also gain value and experience by watching a veteran who knows how to win, who's won Super Bowls, win games that you probably don't expect them to win.
Right, and like, before with Matt Ryan and Philip Rivers. It's funny how the Colts just keep this cycle up. Who will be the next veteran quarterback that they're going to trot in?
Sam Darnold!
No, he's too young for that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You got to really go.
Matt Stafford!
Ding, ding.
I
like
right?
that pick.
I mean, why
yeah,
not?
Yeah.
But I it does... You bring up a point about Irsay. I mean, he usually does have... He's vocal. He's usually chiming in on this kind of stuff, but I wonder whatever that illness was that struck him down, how severe it is and how much it's preventing him from being in the public eye and weighing in on some of these decisions that are being made, or, God forbid, a billionaire owner of an NFL franchise lets the football guys make football decisions that are actually going to help you win football games instead of, hey, draft Bryce Young, number one overall, instead of the guy who's really good that everybody else wants.
But this seems like we're entering new territory here with Bryce Young and with Anthony. Maybe Young will finally, like, he'll play poorly enough. You're like, okay, this isn't it, and Carolina will be at the top of the draft. But for Richardson entering year three, and if year three, you drafted a guy that's only going to have 10 starts, that's it? It's the age-old, when do we start the guy? Maybe putting him in there at the beginning wasn't such a good idea.
Well,
maybe they should have gotten, like, some, yeah.
Right, and to go back to my original point, I think anytime you're viewing a quarterback with that little college experience, it should be a gigantic red flag. They just don't have the proper seasoning to be an NFL starter.
The other thing, too, is like the team that did this in reverse, the Falcons. Michael Penix has all sorts of college experience. Michael Penix won at different schools.
Right.
Michael Penix should be helping some team, and we're being deprived of that. Because he got old man Kirk Cousins there.
Well, yes. But they're, you know, if they weren't winning, believe me, we would see Michael Penix. But they're winning the games they need to win. And if you see Michael Penix next year, I have a feeling it'll be as good a Michael Penix as what we're used to seeing from his time playing at the college level. I don't think there's any harm. I still don't get the pick. I still don't understand the pick by Atlanta or the strategy. Like, if Cousins breaks down, I guess you see Penix at some point. But we're not rooting for that. And they're first place in their division. So good luck seeing Penix on the field this year. I don't think it's going to happen. At minimum, you have something that maybe you get something of value for down the road from another team who might be looking for an upgraded quarterback. Could you see a Penix trade to another team here in the next couple of years if Kirk Cousins continues to play it the way he's been playing it? I don't know.
So these two jabronis that were kicked out of the game.
Watch your tongue. You said hero. I heard hero is what I heard. Two heroes?
They're season ticket holders, but I'm going to read the part of the statement here. You tell me what's missing here, right? They will not. These two fans will not be permitted to attend tonight's game in any capacity. Their behavior, egregious and unacceptable. The safety and security of our players, fans, and the stadium staff is the fundamental element of every event held at Yankee Stadium, and it cannot be compromised. Okay, you're not allowing them back tonight.
No, they're back next year.
Right.
Yeah.
These guys are going to be celebrities.
I'm telling you, this is the difference between Mayer and the world we live in now. These guys will be, they'll have their own podcast by the end of the week. Today's what, Wednesday? I'm saying by Friday they have a podcast deal with a sponsor, and they will have a Yankees podcast, a Yankees-themed podcast. They will become celebrities because of this ridiculous behavior. But
no, coming up. Hey, the new Odyssey podcast.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tyler. Do you want to,
what's
do you
his
want
name
to talk,
again?
Austin Capobianco.
Hey!
I don't understand what Judge is doing up with the plate here, but I'm here to talk about our territory. Our territory. See this wall?
You don't go over this wall. This wall right here. You don't go over this wall. You know why you don't go over this wall? Because I'm a Italian.
You know, Mr. Umpire, you are on that side. We are on this side. He puts his glove up there. That's our ball.
All bets are off, pal. That's my ball. That's my glove. I own Mookie Betts' arm. Get out of here with that. That's our wall. You know why it's our wall? Because I'm Italian.
What if it happens again tonight?
I mean, I saw it happen, and I know it made a lot of people upset. I'm sorry. I laughed. I could not stop laughing at it.
Cracking up.
I could not stop laughing at these two meatballs absolutely being everything you would expect a New York Yankee fan to be. Give me that glove. Give me that ball. Get off my turf. Get out of here. And then the footnote to this, and if this is true, I think it is, because why would he make it up? Gronk today on Kay Adams' show is talking about how he knows these dudes. He went to school with these dudes in Arizona. He remembers them. They were club hockey players at Arizona, and he said they were crazy. They were wild men. They were animals. These guys, everything that they did, it all fits the profile. He's not saying that he likes what they did or what they did was right, but it checks out. I'm like, yeah, that if you're hanging out with Gronk in college, chances are you probably got a little bit of a complex. You're probably walking around thinking, hey, what are you going to do about it, huh, Mookie Betts? What are you going to do?
Well, if
this is our wall.
If there's a theme to the sports bar this week, Danger, fans are encouraged that they can make a difference in some way, the outcome. Now, did that play kind of alter the game? Well, the Yankees are down 2-0. Betts made the play, was an out. But you know what? Kind of energized the building, did it not? Did it not wake up everybody and get everybody saying, what was that? And everybody's like, that was important, I thought. Get a little energy. The other one being, hey, let's bait this second-year corner of the Bears here. Like, hey, like that. Those guys in Washington didn't do anything wrong, and they literally will always say, we helped our team win a game.
Right. Yeah, they can hold that one. They got the W on that one. I was very heavily amused by, I mean, the roll call is fantastic at Yankee Stadium. I do love that tradition.
It is. For folks who don't know, this is in the right field bleachers. This has been going on forever. How long? I don't know. But they will do this, and they will go around the horn. So say you're going to start off with shortstop Anthony Volpe.
Yeah. Now they go, Volpe, Volpe.
Yeah.
Like they have a chant for all of them.
These guys.
Right?
And then every Yankee player has to put up their hand or just tip.
Acknowledge.
That's all.
After the game, I don't know if you caught this, but of course, you know, they have the panel after the game. It's A-Rod, it's Derek Jeter, and of course, they're doing their roll call, and they, in the middle of the broadcast, they're, Derek Jeter! Yeah. You know, they're doing one for A-Rod, and then who's next to him on the desk? Poppy sucks! Poppy sucks! But they're just killing him. They got momentum. It's going to be a scene tonight. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying they're going to win Game 5 because that would be kind of historic. I don't think that a team down 3-0 in the series has ever forced a Game 6, but it would be something, and I'm not going to count them dead when they've got their guy on the mound tonight.
The one thing Yankee fans are getting killed for, and I hate this, the moment, stand up for the credit card company. Like, it is the most brilliant piece of sports marketing ever, where we're going to take cancer, but where everybody is going to, all 50,000 people are going to hold up your logo, and every home viewer is going to hold up the credit card logo because we all hate cancer. Silence, and look at the logo. I hate that. All right? I don't know why anybody else doesn't get upset by that. I think it's wrong to use cancer in that way, but there's the moment of silence. Now, I don't know about you, during a moment of silence, you stay silent. But there's somebody yelling, Freddie Freeman sucks. Like, okay, number one, he doesn't. Number two,
I mean, I'm a big fan of the Madhouse on Madison. And when Jim Cornelison in Chicago will sing the national anthem at a Chicago Blackhawks game, you know, it's tradition to sing along. Not in Chicago. Everybody sings, but they go berserk. It's just a wall of noise. And I don't know that that's necessarily disrespectful, but it's their thing. It's just their thing. And yeah, I don't expect a Yankee fan to remain silent when their team is down 3-0 and Freddie Freeman is the reason. That might be a bridge too far to ask Yankee fan to remain silent and keep your jars and your criticisms to yourself. I don't know about that.
Just point this out. I know we're late for the break. If we were a Met fan doing this, I would never hear the end of it from you. I would never hear the end of it from you.
What? No.
I
would say the same thing. I would say the same. I would be calling them heroes in their grimace costume, licking their ice cream. That would be the thing.
If the Mets are losing and I said, Freddie Freeman sucks, you'd be like, you misfit. Don't do that during a moment of silence.
I don't know. I don't know how I would react to that. I did get a little dig there with Mets fan licking their ice cream, trying to rip the glove off of Mookie Betts. It would look a little bit differently if it was at Citi Field. Just front row, like front row at the circus,
the thing about
cotton candy.
Look at that photo of Capo Bianco. The hands, they look kind of...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He looks like a troll. Yeah. Complete troll. Oh, that was a lot of fun. Can't wait for Game 5 tonight. Going to be a good time. Let's get Greg Thompson of Cover 1 in here next. Cover 1 Capologist. We'll talk a little bit about the Bills roster construction here, not just in the short term with the trade deadline coming up on Tuesday, long term as well. Lots of names that are due to get paid based on their performance so far this year. We'll look at this weekend's matchup, and we'll get into more with Greg Thompson of Cover 1 next on The Fan Rochester.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Fan Rochester Sports Update.
Bills wide receiver Amari Cooper has a wrist injury, although he was just working off to the side at today's practice. Other players that were limited, Curtis Samuel, Reggie Gilliam, and Terrell Bernard. Head coach Sean McDermott on the Dolphins offense.
Yeah, I think they're back to being that offense that we know. And so explosive, so dynamic, so potent in what they do and how they do things. I think Coach McDaniel does a great job of putting them into great positions. And so they're very tough.
Our coverage Sunday, Bills Dolphins, will begin at 9 a.m. Greg Tomczyk, Cover One, joining us next year in the Sports Bar. Game 5 of the World Series tonight. The Yankees once again need a win to stay alive. They send out Gerrit Cole to the mound. The Dodgers countering with Jack Flaherty. Keane Battaglia, the sports leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
Top Shelf Sports Talk. You're hanging out in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
Cover One's Greg Tomczyk joins us in the Sports Bar. It's always good to get you on with us, Greg, and to talk about the Buffalo Bills off to a nice start. And I can't help myself when we see the kind of performance that we're starting to see out of some of the star players on this roster. I look ahead and I think, okay, how's Brandon Bean going to manage all of this? And while we have you on, and we know how you like to analyze the Bills cap, and you're kind of like our resident capologist here with the Buffalo Bills, talk a little bit about what the future might look like with James Cook doing everything that he's done as a Buffalo Bill. Because up to this point, it hasn't been Brandon Bean's MO to invest heavily in that position group outside of the draft. And so it leads me to wonder, like, will the Bills change course given what's happened around the rest of the NFL and say to themselves, you know what, James Cook is elite and maybe he does deserve a big payday here. Not in the immediate future, obviously, but down the road.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. First, thanks for having me on again. Appreciate it. Always love jumping on with you guys. I think that it's interesting because of what we saw in the running back market this past year. So I'm not going to try to say that James Cook is on the same tier as these two players, but we just saw two teams that historically have been some of the most analytically inclined, some of the most savvy and strongest decision-making front offices, and that being Philadelphia and Baltimore, just signed the two biggest free agent contracts at running back in the offseason. Now, it was Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry, and maybe the lesson learned from that is that elite talent, like difference-making talent at running back, still has a value, and that there's kind of a soft spot in the market where people have overcorrected to the running backs don't matter nonsense that gets thrown around. Now, I'm not sure where that fits with James Cook, because I can look back and there's an awful lot of Devin Singletary or Zach Moss, and then Devin Singletary, and then Ray Davis, and you're James Cook and Ray Davis, and we see they're like, hey, when it's a year or two out, we draft the next guy, and then you're going to let the other guy walk, and then you draft the next guy, and you're going to let the other guy walk. And there's enough history there that very obviously we don't spend money at running back. So it's hard for me to now assume that that's going to immediately pivot. So my first guess is that we get James Cook this year and next year, and in 2026, our running back room will be Ray Davis and whoever the fourth-round pick is that year, and we will rinse and repeat going forward. But I do leave it open that there is a window where there's a number that could make sense, and James Cook's value could net out with what we think it could be between what the market could get and maybe retaining him.
Yeah, this is what happens when you have a good draft class here, because I'm already looking at the 2022 draft class. Greg Thompson, Eric Gus. If you're trying to determine who gets paid next for the Buffalo Bills, I think a lot of us would say it's Greg Rousseau. Certainly the Bills making that decision with the fifth-year option. But then the fifth-year option, hard for me to imagine the Bills will say, yeah, we like what we saw out of Kyer Elam to make that decision next year, but after Elam, and these guys don't get a fifth-year option, it's only for the first round. You have Cook in the second round, Terrell Bernard in the third round, Shakir, who has developed into this unbelievable target for Josh Allen in the fifth round. Oh, and by the way, where do we put Christian Benford in all this, who may be arguably the best corner in the game today? Where do you begin here, Greg? Is it just who wants to take the deal first here? When does Brandon Bean begin here? Because I would think by the time training camp comes around next year, maybe one of these guys is a storyline here.
Yeah, so one, I think it's awesome that we are already talking about 2 years from now, because all these guys are under contract this year and 2025, and it's rightfully so, because the only – like impactful high snap count guys who are free agents next year are the current contributors who are 30 plus. So Amari Cooper, Rasul Douglas, technically guys like Mac Hollins and Dwayne Smoot who are playing snaps. But there are no starters outside of Cooper and Douglas that are free agents next year. So they're in great position that way. And they are doing that because they've gotten ahead of the curve with that player group that you listed. And that group, we already talked about Cook, so now you're talking about guys who I think the likelihood is a little bit higher, which I think the most likely is, if you're going to ask me to rank this and who I think I'm ready to guarantee, hey, this guy's going to be a Buffalo Bill in 2026, I think that, you know, Bernard's probably the biggest lock, just, you know, he's a captain. Linebacker is one of the less crazy ones to pay. I think that checks out. Then you're probably pretty close in Shakir or Benford. Benford has flourished so much, but corners get paid, and I'm sure he's going to want to get paid a real number. The same thing. Receivers can get crazy numbers. I still think it's really likely that both of those guys are here and get paid, but it's less of a sure thing than Bernard is, just because Bernard checks so many boxes that way. I think those guys check a ton of boxes, but the one thing that goes against them is they play premium positions, and you never know what their agent is looking for. They could just want a crazy amount of money that we can't mess with at wide receiver or corner. That's going to be the toughest one. The biggest coin flip is Gregory Rousseau.
Yeah. Really?
I think that it's because, one, edge rushers get paid a lot. I think that they have a very strong interest in being able to retain him, but I think Rousseau is very interested in making a ton of money and being able to get a huge contract, and he deserves it. He is playing great. He is impacting both sides of the defense for run game and pass game. He is big. He is athletic. He is healthy. He's young. All of those things translate to a guy. I'll take it back this past year. I don't know that Jonathan Grenard is a guy that a ton of people, you know, knew about coming out of Houston, and that the position that he was in when he was coming into free agency. And then you go out and you look and like, oh, who is this guy, Jonathan Grenard, that just signed a $76 million contract? So I think that guys who are really good run defenders and contribute in the pass rush but have the youth and the health and the age for the upside that, hey, maybe we're going to see more in the pass rush, are still getting paid just on that speculation. So now you add in the fact that Gregory Rousseau's fourth in the NFL in pressures right now. I'm really, really glad we checked that box for the fifth-year option and we lock him in at only $13 million next year, because it's not out of the question that he's like a 20 or 23, $25 million pass rusher when it comes up. So I think they'd love to retain him. I think it's right there at 50-50. Like, I'm not saying he's going to leave, but when you're talking about, hey, it's probably 4 years and $100 million, that's never a guarantee.
Yeah, it's interesting, and the reason maybe we're asking about the class of free agency class of 2026 is because, well, Rousseau's right at the front of the pack there, right? Because he gets the extra year. Brandon Bean does have one thing he could use, and he hasn't used it in his time in Buffalo. The franchise tag, I mean, could you see that coming into play? Because it could be viewed as a hostile move, you know, but in some negotiations, and Brandon Bean has always been, you know, kind of open as far as, you know, where players stand here. But which of these guys do you think would have the best value in terms of, hey, we're just going to tag you for a year here, and then we'll figure it out the following year?
So there's really only one, because unfortunately linebacker accounts for the Micah Parsons and the TJ Watts of the world, who are not linebackers, they're edge rushers. But unfortunately the NFL doesn't allocate between edge and linebacker. So even though the Fred Warners of the world are actually the highest paid off-ball linebackers, the franchise tag next year, not even 2026, which is when Russo would come up, but in 2026 or 2025, it's $27 million. So I don't think that's obviously not in place for Terrell Bernard. The same thing. I love Khalil Shakir. I don't $25 million love Khalil Shakir. So that's not in play for Khalil Shakir. And I guess Christian Benford's, I mean, I guess it's theoretical. It's still $20 million. I don't think he's a $20 million guy. So I'm going to say that's probably not in play. I don't want to tag Gregory Rousseau, but honestly, like $24 million for the franchise tag isn't a crazy amount more than I think he's going to get paid anyways. That's when a franchise tag makes sense. When the franchise tag is, hey, I think you're going to get this amount of money anyways, and I can't afford to let you leave, so we're going to try to tag you. That's when it makes sense on the team side. The player never likes it, obviously. So I think Gregory Rousseau is the only one that's a possibility, but I certainly think, for one, the salary cap limitations, you can't lower that cap number. You have to fit all 25, it's $24.7 million next year. You have to fit every penny of that onto that year's salary cap. So there's a lot of incentive to reach an extension, and the player and the agent knows that too, that you're helping the team by doing that. So I think all of these guys, I would, if I was including Cook, I would rank Cook last out of the five just because of our history with running back. But I would put Rousseau fourth out of five because of the crazy amount of money I think he's going to get paid. I think all of them are in play for a late summer extension next year, like we've seen with Ed Oliver and Spencer Brown the last two offseasons.
Greg Thompson, Cover One, our guest here in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on the Fan, as we kind of look at the Bills under the hood a little bit here and look towards the future, what the salary cap could mean or what it could look like here for the Buffalo Bills. And looking into the future is one thing, Greg, but we can look right now in the present and tell me where the Bills stand, because if I'm understanding things right, the Darrington Evans release yesterday, I believe, has us at 52. We know that Von Miller is coming back from suspension. But, you know, Brandon Bean has said, no, I'm not necessarily done doing deals. We have until Tuesday. Are the Bills done? Could they be adding another player here at some point?
So I think that, obviously, I wouldn't set my sights at the Amari Cooper level. But we've also seen other trades in the past here where it's been, you know, we also added Dean Marlowe at the trade deadline 1 year. And we've had other moves that are, you know, hey, can we make this a more, you know, reasonable, you know, acquisition where all of a sudden we're trying to add depth and we're trying to just make it a little bit more reasonable of how we're bringing people in. So I think that it's very possible that we could see some moves like that and able to make a little bit more happen here. It doesn't have to be a Rasul Douglas or a Amari Cooper level trade, but I do think the defensive tackle is a spot that makes some sense. A guy who's playing really well for a team that is going nowhere and that we had in for a workout this offseason is Sebastian Joseph Day. He's a really impactful, versatile defensive lineman. He's a defensive tackle that can push outside and play strong side end. He can rush on third down. He has awesome metrics right now for Tennessee. Tennessee is going nowhere. We had him in for a visit because he was an option to sign in free agency, but obviously they decided to go another direction in what they ended up bringing in for free agency that year. But, you know, we've traded for Nyheim Hines in the past. We've traded for Dean Marlowe. We've traded for Case Keenum. You know, some of the moves have been lower level depth moves. They don't all have to be the Rasul Douglas and Amari Cooper level. Of course, it would be awesome if we go out and get a Za'Darius Smith, or if we go out and get like a big time, you know, Buda Baker or something crazy. But anytime you're asking the other team to pay a bunch of money in order to get it down, because we are only able to trade for players that we trade for a minimum contract. We cannot fit any money onto our salary cap. I think that it's in play. So there are guys that, and I go through and make my Goldilocks list when I kind of create the trade targets, just as an FYI, Amari Cooper was my number one Goldilocks list for wide receiver. I do have a guy like Sebastian Joseph Day at the top of my list for defensive tackles, but there are others. Malik Collins is a guy for San Francisco that could make sense. And honestly, Calais Campbell is a guy that if, you know, the Buffalo Bills can hand another loss to Miami, in-division teams don't like to make trades for guys they're going to see for future years. That's the reason that, you know, Miami wouldn't want to trade us Javon Holland and then see him for another decade. Calais Campbell's been a Miami Dolphin for 8 months, and he isn't going to be one next year. So that's not something that stops an in-division trade from happening. So you have that combination. I think it's safety. You could be able to go in and take a look at, you know, some options that direction that maybe makes some sense. But, you know, is it more realistic that the safety is maybe somebody who's on their couch in Western New York right now? You know, I think that there's some options that way too, that maybe we break glass in case of emergency and call back Mr. Hyde. So I think those are the two spots that make the most sense for me. Maybe there's a, I think the news we've heard on Matt Milano and now Bernard practicing today, I don't think linebacker is as in play as other people have thought it was, but safety and defensive tackle are ones that I could see a lower level move that makes some sense.
Greg, just your amount, are you surprised? A little, a lot, not at all. I mean, if I go back to August and there goes down Matt Milano and you're looking at the Bills with all this dead cap, second most in the league, and we're looking at the wide receivers and we're not really kind of impressed. I'm quite honestly, I'm surprised at how these younger players, by younger players, these players we were mentioning before, your Bernard's, Cook, Shakir, certainly Christian Benford. Is that not the real storyline this year? Because we're all talk about Josh Allen and how great he is, but how these guys all seemingly are coming into age here all at the same time.
It is pretty wild. So for as much crap as, you know, Sean McDermott rightfully gets, Brandon Bean rightfully gets, there are things that they've both done wrong. We're not real good at bringing a lot of praise when we see amazing halftime adjustments and second half blowouts. We don't praise the coaching staff for that. When we see, like, hey, you whiffed on this first round pick, well, how about the fact that he hit the sixth round pick out of the park? And then some of these other things that are now coming to fruition where we're seeing younger guys develop into, and Terrell Bernard playing at an all-pro level, Khalil Shakir going from a fifth-round pick to a really reliable, you know, at worst wide receiver two, seeing Christian Benford play at literally an all-pro level. He was PFF's first quarter of the season all-pro at corner coming out of the sixth round. Seeing that kind of value across the board, James Cook turning into the level of running back that he has, having that many hits, it really, really goes a long way. Obviously, we don't know what Keon Coleman's going to turn into, but it looks pretty darn good right now. Dwayne Carter had a lot of flashes before he went out. So people might focus on, hey, why isn't Cole Bishop playing more? Hey, why didn't Kyer Elam pan out? And that, yes, would it be awesome if every single pick was a hit? Sure, but no GM does that. We consistently call Howie Roseman the best GM in the league. Well, guess what? He picked Jalen Reagor one pick before Justin Jefferson. You know, this stuff's hard.
Yeah. Greg, which Dolphins team do you think we get on Sunday? Do we get desperate Miami or defeated Miami?
My history with this team tells us that I do think we will get a piece of desperate Miami right off the bat. They are going to be throwing everything they have at us. But I've also seen that team's got an awful lot of quit in them. And they are ready to roll over as soon as you give them the reason to. So this is going to be an important game to, you know, if we get a little bit of an early lead, we stop them a couple times, they are going to roll over and be ready to go, you know, plan their vacations real quick here. So there's enough talent there. The offense looked good enough against Arizona. Weirdly, their defense had been getting their stuff together, and the defense looked terrible against Arizona. So I do think there's enough talent and speed and excitement on the offense that we've seen them trade blows with us for a while to open up a game. But I don't have real high expectations at this point.
Yeah, the betting line just seems a little fishy here to me. Like, wait a second, you beat this team by 21. They really haven't gotten their act together. You're only favoring Buffalo by 6. There's a lot of sharp money going on the Dolphins here for whatever reason with the points here, Greg. But your thoughts on what's ahead after this? Because you get Joe Flacco again, the Colts. I mean, the Bills should still be only at 2 losses when they get to the Kansas City game in November, correct?
It certainly should. Nothing's guaranteed. We've just, claimed that Baltimore certainly thought that going into the Cleveland game. So you can't take anything for granted in this league. You have to take each game as it comes. But that's certainly what we should be expecting here. This is exactly what is going on. And I know we've had a couple of these games in the past. We almost did it with the Giants last year. We did it with the Broncos. We did it with the Patriots. We've had games where they should not have let anything slip in the way that they have. But this team seems to have their stuff together. We had a long stretch in McDermott's first, 4 or 5 years where we never dropped those games. I think we're getting back a little bit into that here where they're going to take care of business. It doesn't have to be pretty. It doesn't have to be a lot of style points, but just get a W, move on, survive, get ready for this gauntlet that they have with Kansas City, Detroit, San Francisco, and L.A.
Greg, great insight as always, and we appreciate you giving us some of your time. Tell our audience where they can spend some more of their time with you and the content you're pumping out at Cover One.
Of course. As soon as you guys get done hanging out with the guys here and listening, come on over, check us out at Cover One. You can find us everywhere that you listen for podcasts, online streams. You can search on YouTube, or you can find me at Greg Thompson on Twitter. Come and ask me any questions you might have. We'll hang out.
Your guy Turner, he played for Fisher, did he not?
He did. He was a running back.
Running back. What year?
I think mid-2000s.
Mid-2000s, okay.
He's a couple years younger than me. I graduated. I played from 99 to 03 out in Ohio, but he was a couple years younger
than me. Okay, so who did you play for, Greg?
Baldwin Wallace. I played D3 out in Cleveland.
All right, there we go. Yep, I know all these names.
Gene's going back through his mental Rolodex of names that he's called doing play-by-play.
Fisher. Yeah, I'm like, somebody told me Eric Turner played for Fisher. I'm like, really? And he just looks like
yeah,
looks
I had
like
a fun run.
Looks like he's 25 still. Yeah, go ahead. So.
I was out in the OAC playing there with my freshman year was London Fletcher was at John Carroll. Mm-hmm. And then my senior year was Pierre Garçon was at Mount Union. Yeah. And during that stretch, Nick Sirianni and I both came from the same area down to the Southern Tier in Western New York. And he went to Mount Union and I went to Baldwin Wallace playing against each other that whole time. So lots of people I played against that are way more famous than me, but it was a lot of fun.
Fantastic yeah. stuff, Greg. Appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Greg Thompson, Cover One, stopping by the sports bar to share some insight on the Bills cap and look ahead to Sunday's matchup against the Dolphins.
It's going to be a storyline next year. I mean, like, look, we don't need to really dive into who Brandon Bean's going to pay, but all these guys are going to come up at once. And when you pay the first guy, is everybody going to look around at each other and go, what about me?
Yeah, and a lot can happen between now and that day of reckoning, and there will be, the only constant is change.
But day of reckoning, you don't want any of these guys really to go into free agency. We saw it with Spencer Brown, like, hey, right before the season started, here's a new contract. Okay, right. Problem solved. So
I keep thinking about the predicament that Trey White finds himself in here. And this is a player that I think a lot of us wanted to see play his entire career in Buffalo. And he was beloved and just everything that you want.
Yeah.
And
two plays, it's over.
And it's over. It's a cruel, cruel business. And now he can't get on the field in LA and who knows what team he ends up for here beyond Tuesday. There might be some of those kind of decisions that Brandon Bean might have to make about players that we're talking about right now, not because he wants to, but because he has to and because injuries happen or production falls.
Wait till Christian Benford gets the tag of All Pro.
Yeah.
That's going to, like America doesn't know about Christian Benford and like, oh, here we are. Yeah, that's it. Can you afford that?
And quickly before we go to break, because we talked about this earlier in the week when we called the race for the AFC East.
We at the sports bar, we are calling the race over in the AFC East. It's over.
You're going to hear it a lot here between now and Tuesday, obviously, and a little bit beyond Tuesday as well. The Bills can actually clinch. I don't know if you saw this. As soon as week 11.
Okay, so what is week 11? This week is week 9 coming up.
Yep. Well, they have to go 3-0 over their next three.
They could clinch with a win over the Chiefs?
If they go 3-0 over their next three, and the rest of the division goes 0-3 over their next three, the Bills will clinch as soon as week 11.
Now, they can't imagine that, but I could imagine. I said the San Francisco game. That's 13.
Yeah. There have only been four teams in NFL history that have clinched in week 11. The Bills would be the fifth. They need to go 3-0. The rest of the division needs to go 0-3.
Like, it's seeding. That's what I want to know. Can the Bills get to the 2? Can they get the 1? Well, if they beat the Chiefs, like, the Chiefs have a cupcake schedule. They really do. Yes, there's divisional games in there, but I think the 2 seed is the honest target here for Buffalo. That should be the goal.
We haven't done any McDermott McLies today.
We should do some. Oh, wait a second. Who are they playing this week?
They're playing Miami.
Oh, my gosh. Danger. This team. They're fantastic.
McDermott could really hit us with some doozies this week. In fact, it took a lot of restraint to not hit the bell during your sports update when McDermott was talking about Miami's offense.
Wait, can you play that update or play that one we were using the update? Like, Sean McDermott, what do you think of the Miami offense?
Yeah, I think they're back to being that offense that we know. And so explosive, so dynamic, so potent in what they do and how they do things. I think Coach McDaniel does a great job of, putting them into great positions. And so they're very tough.
It's 6 and 17 seconds. Oh, we could have a lot of fun with
it. It's a killer pace. Yeah. Happy hour is next. We have time for your calls, 866-4326, if you want to pull up a stool, 585-866-4326. And by the way, let's do this now as well, Gino. Let's give away another pair of tickets, free tickets, to see Dweezil Zappa. His guitar wants to kill your mama. And you can get those free tickets before you can buy them Friday when they go on sale at 10 a.m. He's coming to Kodak Center April 15th, 2025. Dweezil Zappa, two free tickets now, 866-4326. Caller 5, good luck from the Sports Bar.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.